Okay. Okay, so today is the 27th of June, 2017. Gimel Tammuz, as has been pointed out already. Tav Shinayin Zayin.
Is that your side of the Rebbe?
Of the Rebbe, yes.
Yeah, Rebbe.
Yes, when the world changed. They refer to it, you know, if you speak, they talk about the Rebbe's death in terms of when the Rebbe was alive, and then after Gimel Tammuz, that's the term that they use for describing after the period, after he passed away. Yeah, that's something like that. Anyways.
I think people just fly in for that.
Yeah.
All over the world.
I could...
Yeah, there were the times.
I could hear that. Okay, so Perek Lamed Beis, we discussed the halacha, the simple Chumash and Rashi of all of Perek Lamed Beis. I assume, unfortunately, they would probably take us 2, maybe even 3 days. And plus, there's really a lot there. Now, we have the story the way the Rashi presents it. And probably the most confusing part when you actually read the text is, what is Aaron's involvement here? Aaron seems to be integrally involved. That's not the word. Involved in the both suggestions and the creation and even maybe even the serving of this Chet Egel that is put out there. So how do we understand what his role is? So Rashi... the way Rashi seems to spell it out is they keep kind of avoiding the issue. They keep kind of putting Rashi kind of keeps saying that this was Bnei Yisrael doing their thing, and Aaron was just trying to stay out of the way, or was trying to minimize the sin as much as possible. That seems to be the way that Rashi presents it, and then when Aaron, okay, fine, that's Rashi's presentation. The Ramban. And that's what we understand. And what was the Chet Egel according to Rashi? So we saw that Rashi says that this was pure avodah zara with all other types of averos that were involved as well. Right? That term that they went until the next day, they offered karbanos, and then they were litzachek. What does litzachek mean? They did avodah zara. Avodah zara has to do with Chet Egel. They did shvichas damim. They did murder, and they did gilui arayos. Right? All these things were present as part of the sin of the Chet Egel. That was the read that we made yesterday in Chumash and Rashi, right? That was pretty much it. Absolutely. Okay. So the Ramban has us take a step back. So, and we also point out that seems, you know, that's a read in the text, which if you were to read the text plainly without any mefarshim, it wouldn't necessarily have come to that conclusion. Right? That was really Rashi constantly directing you how to read the text. A very intense Rashi interpretation. So the Ramban. I have this little, very little pamphlet at home that highlights the Rambans to look at on a weekly basis. To just if you learn the parsha on a regular basis, so which Rambans should you focus on? It gives you for each parak 2 or 3 Rambans you should do. For this parak, it says read the whole parak. You got to read the whole thing. So I'm not sure we won't do that, and I'm not sure where he was driving at. It's not all of it. Fits into his categories of what you would normally read, but the Ramban, certainly the opening Ramban on the Perek, is very key to really understanding his, and everything really flows from that understanding. So Perek Lamed Beis Pasuk Aleph. Ramban says he quotes Rashi's Pshat. So we've lost our God, and now we need these other gods that are going to walk in front of us. So ve'ein lushono mechuvan, says the Ramban, that his language doesn't fit. Aval ha'kasav hazeh hu mafteach l'das nachon inyan ha'egel u'machshavos osin. But it is this text here is the right way to understand the egel. Ki b'yadua shelo ayu Yisrael savurim shemoshe hu elukim. He says the whole thing is built on the premise that Moshe's gone, and therefore we need another god. But the people never believed that Moshe was God. And so why would Moshe's disappearance justify the creation of another God to take Moshe's place if Moshe isn't the God? That's their first issue. And Moshe wasn't the one who did all the miracles. It was Hashem who did all the miracles. So what's the reason to say that just because Moshe has left us, now we have to make another God? 2, Va'od, Ki beferish amru elukim asher yelchu befanenu. That the way they say it is, we need another God to walk in front of us. Lo shiyu nosnam lehem chayim bi'olam hazeh o bi'olam haba. And not a God, right? Is that God's role? What's God's role? God's role is to lead B'nai Yisrael through the Midbar? Or that's, God's role is to figure out, you know, Olam Hazeh, Olam Haba, to be an almighty God, not just to have this one role of taking us through the desert. So why is God being referred to as, oh, we need God to take us through the desert, right? So the Ramban says, I don't hear those Pshatim Rashi. Now, we have to perhaps circle back and try to understand Rashi, but those are the Ramban's kashas on Rashi. So therefore he says, Aval hayu mevakshin Moshe acher. What they wanted was not another God, they wanted another Moshe. Amru Moshe Shahora Lanu Haderach mi Mitzrayim Verhinam. Moshe who has shown us the way from Mitzrayim until this point. Shehu Hamasim Api Hashem Biad Moshe. That they were being, Shalom, but they were being led according to the word of Hashem in the hand of Moshe. So it wasn't another God that they were after, but rather it was another Moshe that they were after. Vehu Avanimenu. And that's what was taken away from them. Shalom, chapter 32, verse 1, although we're in the Ramban right now, which is not in that time.
What is he basing on the fact that it was another Moshe? Moshe was a real person. The eagle is not a real person. What are they basing the fact that it was another Moshe?
Well, he's basing that on the text. I mean, the text itself seems to bear that out. The text in verse 1 is, Vayomer Elav Kumasei Lanu Elohim Asher Yehu Lefanei. Elohim, by the way, doesn't always mean God. It means Lord or judge. A judge is also known as Elohim. So we need another.
It's plural, right? It means God.
Gods or rulers. Or, yes, but it's not necessarily a deity.
Correct.
There sometimes, you might not realize it, but Elohim is sometimes written with a capital Aleph and sometimes with a lowercase Aleph. So you need to know which one is which. Kizem Moshe Ha'ish Asher Halonu Me'eretz Mitzrayim Lo Yadanu Me'ayalo. Right, the whole complaint is about Moshe. And Aaron says to them, take off their pirkei, and the Rabban will go through some of these things, but take off your earrings and bring them to me. Ba'isparku kol ames nizmei azav asher be'ezneim ve'evi'u el Aaron. And they did it, and they brought it to Aaron, and Aaron took them, and he fashioned them. And they said, this is Elokecha Yisrael, who brought you out of Egypt. What does that mean, who brought you out of Egypt? How does that work? All right, there was another guy. And the Rabban's going to have a few other proofs along the way. But he's not focusing on the Chet Egel, again, as a replacement for God, but rather as a replacement for Moshe. Oh, he says it here. Moshe acher shiyora haderach lefaneinu api Hashem biyadu v'zeh tam haskira Moshe ish asher ha'elanu lo el asher ha'elam. That's why they mention Moshe, the man that took us out, and not God that took us out. Ki yitzarchu l'ish elikim. That's what they were looking for.
It's also this Moshe. You remember they have the Zeh, this Moshe, which is kind of an unusual phrase. It's not talking about just Moshe. It's just this Moshe, the man that rose up on me, Zeh Moshe.
Uh-huh.
I mean, that means they're looking for a replacement for this Moshe.
Oh, ki Zeh Moshe, there you go, I see what you're saying. Ki Zeh Moshe, ish asher ha'elanu me'eretz Yisrael, yeah. Okay, so then the Ramban, he sort of clinches it by saying, and you know what, and now we understand the answer that was given later on, because Moshe comes down, later on in the parak, as we learned yesterday, Moshe comes down, you can review the psukim, in verse Tesvav, right? Moshe comes down from the mountain, 15. Moshe comes down after he got tshuva on behalf of Bnei Yisrael, and he had the luchos, and right, v'haluchos maaseh Elokim hema. The luchos were made by Hashem, and they were written fine. V'yishma Yeshua hears them, and he says to Moshe, there's this battle. Vayomer im kol anos, you know, second. Vayikar v'machna v'yaras egel machlos. Moshe gets angry in verse 19. Then he throws the luchos down and he breaks them. Then he takes the egel asher asu and he burns it. And he crumbles it up and he puts it in the water and they drink the water. Then Moshe turns to Aaron and says, "What do you do? How do you do this?" Kevesa love chatagdula, and Aaron says, "Don't be upset with me. You know this nation, right? Vayomruli, they said, make me this god that's going to go in front of us. Kizem Moshe isha shalom miyaris b'shtrayim liyadonu me'ayalo, because we don't know what happened to Moshe. And I said to them, go bring me the gold. And Moshe saw the nation. Kifaro Aaron lishimtza b'kamehen. Vayamun Moshe b'shar hamachane vayomru mila shemilai. And he goes ahead and does battle." So the Ramban says, wait a second, what's going on here? What did you do? Right? This nation that they had this great sin. So what was his answer? Because they came and told us to make this God. And I told them to bring the take the gold and bring it to me, and I threw it into a fire. Right? Aaron turns to Moshe and says, don't be upset with me. Right? Moshe, Aaron turns to Moshe and says, oh, don't be upset with me. They want another god. I told them to bring the gold, and they made a god. So, why does that absolve Aaron of guilt? Right? Moshe says to Aaron, what happened here? Aaron says, well, they wanted the god, so I made it for them. So Moshe says, oh, okay. How does that answer the question? So about Inyan, so rather the Ramban says that this is the Inyan Kamosha Amarti. The idea is, as I said, that they weren't looking for a god that's going to be a god that's going to bring death and life, right? That they were going to accept the service of this god upon them. Rather, they were looking for a Moshe to be their leader. So that's what Aaron's answer was. They didn't know who was going to lead them. So therefore they needed somebody to lead them. So long as you're not here. Right? But what happens, Moshe, when you come back? They're going to cast it aside and bring you back in charge. So that's Aaron's answer to Moshe, according to the Ramban. They're only looking for a Moshe replacement. Moshe says to them, how'd this happen? Aaron says, well, they were looking for a replacement for you as long as you weren't here. But as soon as you come back, they're going to cast aside that which they created. Yeah? Oh, okay. So hold off on that. Hold off on that, yeah.
I have a question. The fact that they... miscellaneous gold into this fire, and out of it emerged this golden calf.
That's a medrash. The verse itself talks about Aaron fashioning it.
I threw it into the fire, and this.
That's what he answered him. If you look in verse 4, 32:4, what does it say there? By kach mi adam, Aaron took it from them. Vayatzar oso bacheret, and he used a graving tool for it. Vayasu egel masicha, and he created this egel. So, yeah. So it sounds like he might have been more.
Yeah, so,
it's a kind of a poetic license to use gold as a leader somehow.
Oh, okay. So why? How the egel solves the problem? So we got to hold off on that a little bit.
Not really to lead, but it's being.
Yeah, that's that right. That's what you're looking for. That this golden thing was going to be the intermediary, and I forget if the Ramban or Chaim, but we'll get to it.
We always think of it as transitional, like it's just to help keep people together.
Yeah.
On the path until the true leader's back.
Right. Right. So that's Aaron. Right. So that's Aaron's answer to Moshe. It's like, well, you know, this is only going to be temporary, and then the Ramban adds in v'chein hayadavar. He says, and that's actually what happened. How do you say that's what happened? Right, ki kivan shavro ha'ames Moshe. Plus, as soon as the nation saw Moshe, miad he nichlas eigel ubatu bo shenichulo l'sarfo ulzaros afro apnei amayim. But lo yamehem chulei kalav kal. So, what did Moshe do? So the psukim describe. He comes. He takes takes the eagle, smashes it into pieces, crumbles it up, throws it into the water, and all the people were all upset that Moshe had destroyed their god. No, that's not what happened. Actually, nothing happened. People were like, oh, okay. Moshe's back. Look at that. Moshe's back. We have no longer a need for this. And the Rabbi goes on and says, really, if that was really their God, we see all the other examples of Avodah Zarah. Right? In with Avram. Well, that's the Medrash, but Avram taking the idol and destroying it, and everybody getting upset with Avram. And we're in Shoftim right now with the story of Gidon. Gidon takes a god and destroys it, etc. So the people get upset about that. Here the people don't get upset. Why don't they get upset? So it says the Rambam, it wasn't a god they were worshipping. Rather, it was an intermediary, right? Rather, it was an intermediary between the Jewish people and Hashem that they were worshiping, and Moshe coming back would be a replacement for that intermediary. That's the Rambam.
But they didn't really respond, you know, so forcefully. Now Moshe's back. Because if you look at sentence 26, Moshe had to go to the point and say, "Whoever is
right." So there are a few. Okay, so right. So the problem with you have a problem here. This is a general problem here. Whenever there is a apparent sin of the Jewish people, because on one hand you have a tendency to say, "Oh, it's not really much of a sin." Right? We try to minimize the sin. And that's what the Ramban is doing here. The Ramban is saying, "Oh, they didn't get up and worship Avodah Zarah and have a massive sex parties," which is the way that Rashi might say that what was going on. Rather, it was this like side thing that like kind of emotion. We're going to have a symbol that's going to stand instead of emotion. It's not so bad. So then you have a problem, though. According to Rashi, I understand why there was so much punishment and why Moshe had to go around killing a few people. According to the Ramban, you have a little bit more trouble understanding that. Okay, then if it's not so bad, why is the Chet HaEgel known? Why is Hashem ready to destroy the entire Jewish people because of it? And why is Moshe have to go around and execute some people because of it? And why is the Chet HaEgel held out for the rest of time as being the paradigm of Jewish sin? If, according to the Ramban, you can kind of like understand what they were thinking. Now, we're not exactly there at understanding what they were thinking, because why is a golden calf solve the problem? Right? That we haven't really gotten into. But you always have this give and take. If you're going to minimize the sin, so then you have to justify the punishment. If you're going to maximize the sin, in which case the punishment is justified, so then you have to stand and try to figure out, well, what in the world were B'nai Yisrael thinking that they got led down the path into such a terrible sin? So that question... I confess I didn't read the entire Ramban, the entire parak. I didn't see the Ramban really, really address that issue. But it does say a couple of other things. In Pasuk Dalet, in verse 4, right, so it says that he took it, and he builds on this hypothesis or thesis that the Ramban, that he presents. So in Pasuk Dalet, it says, Vayomer Eila Elokach Yisrael Shehel Lucha, that this is the God of Israel which brought you up. So comes the Ramban, it says, Gamza Kasav Yorotan. This also teaches our idea. King Tipesh Ba'olam Shiachshuv Ki Azav Hazeh Asher Haya Be'azneim Hu Asher Otsiyam Mitzrayim. But there is not one Tipesh. Who's a Tipesh?
A fool.
A fool. Right? There's not one fool in the entire world that thinks that this golden thing brought them out of Egypt. Right? The golden thing didn't even exist. Right? A couple of minutes ago. So what are you talking about? This is the thing that brought them out of Egypt. So Aval Amru Ki Koach HaTzura HaZos HaLamisham. Rather, it is the strength of this image that brought them out. V'nei Lu Timsa Shimar Be'egel B'Shum Makom HaShir Otziyam Yisrael. Don't say anywhere that this eagle brought us out. They know that it was Hashem, meaning the one who said, "I am Hashem, your God, who brought you out of Egypt." He's the one who brought you out. It's His great name that brought them out. But they said in several places that brought you up, not that brought us up, but rather brought you up. Now, how that implies, I have trouble understanding the rest of the Ramban, what that distinction is. But at least the Ramban, from what I do understand, the Ramban is attempting to make this distinction between us as a whole being brought up as Jewish people and something that is directed at some looking for this leader, this help that is going to be their leader to bring them out. One more piece from the Ramban here, by Yar Aaron. Yeah.
In the commentary in the Old Scroll, seems to infer that's the other problem.
No, that, right, but that's based on Rashi's pshat. Rashi is the one who sticks in the ear of Rav as being the real culprits here. The Ramban I didn't see bring that idea up. That's Rashi's reading in this. So Vayar Aaron Pasukei Vayar Aaron Vayivin Mizbeach Lefanav. So Aaron saw this. He built this Mizbeach in front of him. What's going on there? So it says the Ramban Tamze Akasu Shiro Sam Bara Mechlinu El Egel Vekamu Vanim Mizbeach Vekarach Chagla Hashem Machar. What was Aaron actually trying to do? Right, he was saying that now we have this Egel, we're going to have a Chag LaHashem. Who's the LaHashem? So it's not necessarily the Egel. It's the real Hashem. Rashi Yizbuchu L'Shem HaMiyuchad Al Mizbeach Asher Banahu L'Shmo, which is going to be, we're going to offer him things which are for his name. V'lo Yivnu He Mizvachos L'Veshes Pineihem, V'lo Tiyah Kavanah Sam Mizvachim Bilti L'Hashem Levado. And his Kavanah was that these Karbanos are going to be offered to whom? To Hashem, not towards this Egel. And yet the Ramban does bring this in from Rashi that he waited till the next day because he was hoping that Moshe would show up. Right, it doesn't say that they offered it olos and that they brought it shlamim. Rather, it says they offered olos and they offered shlamim. Who were they offering it to? They were offering it to Hashem, and this was just some kind of symbolic intermediary that was going to be there.
So, and Hashem tells Moshe to go down because they have...
Right, so you have two... I think we have two things that I didn't see really resolved in the Ramban. Number one is... Well, okay, how does a golden calf resolve this issue, right? I didn't see the Ramban actually discuss that head on. Again, it could be there, I just didn't see it. The other issue that the Ramban is, and Bruce's question fits into that category of questions is, okay, so what was so bad? Right, what was so bad that Hashem is ready to destroy the entire people? What's so bad that Moshe has to head down right away? What's so bad that Moshe has to do this, break the luchos in order to counteract this? Right? What's so bad about this? It sounds like it was just some sort of a philosophical challenge, right, that the people had. So how does one resolve that issue? There is one more line that the Ramban has where he says what their sin was, but it doesn't really say this issue. He says, Perish Hashchasa Kan Hada, in Pasuk Zayin, the Ramban says, what was so bad? Adar Shakar Rabu Seinu Mixas Binatios. That they had bad machshavos. They had bad thoughts. And the second one is that they bowed down to it. But still, if you understand the bowing down to it as, you know, as kind of a representative of their leader, not as of God, so yes, that's a problem. We don't recommend that in Judaism, but and it might sound a little bit like some other religions, but it doesn't sound like it rises to the level that we normally understand the Chet Egel to be at.
You bow down to Moses, they would, and then they bow down.
Well, they wouldn't. We don't see. I don't think we see any. I don't know of any time in Tanakh when
that's
people bow down to Moses. Yeah, so why? Yeah, that's such a good question. Why are they bowing down to this if they wouldn't bow down to Moshe? That's a good question. On the Ramban.
The same category as the Divin of Bahu. I mean, what did they do? They did something wrong, but they were giving offerings to Hashem. In this case, they're doing something wrong. You know, the severity of the is up for debate.
Yeah, I would say the difference between Nadav and Avihu and this, Nadav and Avihu, nobody, I don't think Nadav Avihu ever includes makes our list of national sins.
No.
Right? Nadav and Avihu is localized to them. We have to understand what they did that was so bad, and we understand the things that they did that were, you know, there's 10, 15 different pshatim as to what that is. Right. Here, there's a suggestion. You don't see Hashem telling Moshe, listen, you better do something about that, otherwise I'm going to destroy the entire nation. Right? You don't see that conversation.
Right.
Here, we see it here. Yeah.
The Chumash says what they did wrong. In line 8, Hashem is speaking to and he says, they have strayed quickly from the way that I have commanded them. And then he said, they have made themselves monk. Yeah, okay. Prostrated themselves to it and sacrificed to it.
Okay.
That's the case.
Okay,
that's
but that doesn't... So how does the Ramban understand that line? How does the Ramban understand that line?
As an intermediary, but...
Okay,
it's
so
hard to get around the fact that they bowed down.
But they didn't, it's not verse 8.
They didn't bow down to Moses.
They didn't bow down to sacrifice to Moses.
That wasn't verse 8. That's verse
8.
Oh, there it is. I'm sorry. Vayishtachulu vayizvachulu. Vayomru elo kach yisrael asher elucha mi'aretz Yisrael. So how does the Ramban understand verse 8? Well, let's see. Does he comment directly on verse 8? He does not comment directly on verse 8.
At the end of the day, Rashi is more persuasive than the Ramban, wouldn't you think? By deciding
I could think he could fight back that there are challenges in Rashi. I mean, the Ramban started by raising questions on Rashi. How do you understand these challenges in the text?
So many more questions.
I think Rashi has an advantage because I think the movie The Ten Commandments seems to pass like him. Right, and Rashi's Rashi. You know that he has informed our view of this from the beginning of time. But there are significant questions on Rashi as well, right? Why? First of all, how do you understand Aaron's involvement if it was pure avodah zarah? Another question is, how do you understand Bnei Yisrael doing it? I mean, how would it get to that point? Now, Rashi, I understand, shifts it to being the Erev Rav, trying to convince them. But you also never see the Ramban's questions were. The Ramban's questions were, you don't see them referring to the Egel as a god, you only see them referring to the Egel as this leadership role. Now, why does that leader thing, why does that intermediary require Zvachim and Yishtachaviyah? Well, it could be because they can't shake hands. Right? It could be that Moshe, they have a way of relating to Moshe that you don't have a way of relating to this Egel. Right. The other question of why does how does an eagle really fulfill that role? So the only thing I saw about that, I see Rabbi Gold is outside already. The only thing I saw about that is the comment that the Or HaChaim makes. The Or HaChaim says in Pasuk 4, that. Yeah, the Or HaChaim asks. He says, "Kasha ich yemun hatipshus uverus ledordeya." How could we attribute such idiocy to this to the greatest generation, so to speak? How could it be? So I think nowadays plenty of people attribute idiocy to the greatest generation. But that being aside, to that greatest generation, we wouldn't do that. So the Or HaChaim continues on and says, "Achin hanachon hu." That from their words, the Or HaChaim seems to be going along the Ramban's read, that they don't, they weren't really bowing down to it as a god, but rather to that which brought them out of Egypt. Right? And they had kavana that to prepare for it, this like idea of leadership, which is the one who brings them out. So I'm skipping a little bit, and he says, that every person has a portion of God. That their kavana was. Right, but there is a portion of every human that doesn't stick around forever. Right, there is a neshama, and there is also the guf, and the guf leaves after a while. So suggest Yor HaChaim nischaknu lasos. They wanted to do something. Hadavar lahamshich koach elyon bedavar hamiskayim. They wanted to affix God to something that was more permanent. What's more permanent than the flesh of a human? A gold of a calf. And now, and this is going to be our intermediary that is then going to stay as opposed to decompose after a while. Now you have a bit of a problem because you're missing the other part. Right? Instead, right? You're missing the neshama part is not going to be present. But that's, I think, their idea. They want, rather than instill a, put their, having a neshama without a guf, they're looking for a guf to ultimately have a neshama as well, which perhaps is the problem, which is not able to do, which then maybe you can get into, and that was the chait. Their chait was not realizing the extent of, or the limitations on human power. maybe. Actually, yes.
I don't know how pertinent, but I mean, when I think of this idol, I mean, it's reminiscent of polytheism, and, you know, we were already